But it doesn't mean that we can therefore ignore truce in the relative realm. And there are two reasons. One, even though ever-present awareness is by definition ever-present, it's present in quarks. It's present at every stage of development. What we don't know is if at least a certain minimum degree of psychological development is required in order to be able to realize Satori, or the nature of the mind. So, for example, can a worm have this realization? We're not asking whether a worm has Buddha mind. All sentient beings have Buddha mind. We're asking, can it self-consciously realize? Can it have Satori? Most people say worms can't have Satoris. Carrots, no. Deer, probably not. When can you actually have this realization of one mind? And that's where psychological development plays an important part. Because, frankly, my own opinion, that there are two things that we have to address. One is having Satori as a temporary, brief, altered state,
Sure.
and then versus having it as a permanent realization. And I believe the evidence to date suggests that a person can have an altered state, a transpersonal altered state, at almost any stage of development. Even infants have, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep states. So they have access to these gross, subtle, and causal states. But infants can't stabilize that realization. They cannot convert it into a permanent, constant, witnessing, or non-dual awareness. At what point can you start to convert it into permanent realization? I believe the evidence suggests a minimum requirement is second-tier psychological development to convert a passing state into a permanent trait of realization. That's an empirical question for us to find out. That's what we're going to actually try to get some evidence on so we can help people move down this path, as best they possibly can. It's pretty clear that low levels of development cannot permanently realize Satori. So this is where all of a sudden we can't just dismiss the relative realm. We can't just dismiss psychological stages because it appears that they're going to have an important role to play in how well we can realize this non-dual nature of the mind. So that's one part about it. The second part is that even if somebody has a very powerful and permanent realization of the non-dual, ever-present mind, they still have to manifest and express that through their conventional personality and their conventional philosophy. And the more balanced and integral and sort of full-bodied their philosophy, the more adequate they're going to be in conveying it and helping to make sense of the world. Because it doesn't really help a whole lot to have a great understanding of the nature of the mind if you can't convert that into educational policies or policies for business or politics or the real world where real human beings live. So in addition to having an understanding of an awakening to absolute non-dual nature of the mind, you want to have an expression that is as integral and comprehensive as possible because it's going to be more effective in the real world. So in the best of all possible worlds, we want to combine both the relative and the non-dual to give a sort of a more comprehensive approach to the topic.